Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show, Season 4, Episode 5, Refraction. Today, Dylan goes in a job interview, and Dr. Edwards gets introduced to the real Norma.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
How long has this been going on?
Yeah. Welcome to Soft Rock, White Pine Bay's finest soft rock station.
We bring you Ace.
Ace. Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show. This is Joe Braswell alongside the lovely Dua Casey. How are you, Dua?
Hi. Welcome, everybody.
We are missing Joe Sanfilippo and Julia Kearley, both out on assignment. Joe's out in Reno. Telling all their business.
Yeah.
Julia's got it working. It doesn't matter. Hi, everyone. How are we doing? Good to see you all. Good to see you all in the chat room. Mary Kay, Shalom Joe, Lounge Vlogger, the whole gang is there. Drew S., Chloe, everyone. Hi, good to see you. $100 for anyone who knew that this was Ace singing this song. Like, when I heard it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Steely Dan. I mean, the Eagles. Oh, no, Stephen Stills. Oh, no. And it's freaking Ace.
Yeah.
Talk about a one-hit wonder. Anyway, I digress. We have a lot to talk about this episode, Dua Casey.
Yes.
It's good to have you back, because you were gone last week.
I was gone. And you know what? You jinxed it. Yesterday, last week, you told Joe he'd been to every single episode. And it was a miracle. And now he's like, he's not here.
I know. That sucks. It sucks. All right. So, he's Joe. So... We have some dilemma action to talk about, right?
So yeah.
The stuff going on there, which is kind of a little boring.
That's what I have in my notes.
I was on board with being like, dilemma, they're so sweet. I want to hear about dilemma. Dilemma, dilemma, dilemma. And then someone, I think Shalom Joe or someone last week said, they're boring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shut up. And then this week, I'm like...
No, they're boring. You know, I couldn't put my finger right on the button, and I couldn't figure out what it was, because I didn't want to say anything, because I do love the show, and
yeah.
I know that they're going somewhere with it. But the fact of the matter is, it's like, now he's going on a job interview, and they're getting the two-car garage, they're moving to Seattle, they're doing all this stuff. But it's not Bates. It has nothing like it. It feels so unlike Bates, and I'm just waiting for somebody to throw a wrench in and something to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't... I mean, there's, you know, I often talked about like how I love the, you know, I'm going to create a show. I'm going to do this, by the way, Carlton and Carrie. I'm going to create a show. I'm going to write a show.
Mark my words, Carlton and Carrie.
White Pine Bay, which just only talks about the goings on in White Pine Bay as away from Norman and Norma and that whole thing. Because I think there's a very interesting town and a lot of corruption and crime and things, a lot of things to talk about.
It's a character in itself.
Exactly. We always say it's a character in itself.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things, though. Apparently, it's not Dilemma.
No.
Like, I don't know if they're going to make it to my show.
No.
I don't know if they're going to make it to my White Pine Bay web series. I agree. I can only trust because I am, you know, some things you say about showrunners and shows, when a new show comes out and you, if they're showrunners you like, you kind of go like, oh, well, I don't know what this show's about, but I put my hands in the cape, I put my faith in the capable hands of this showrunner.
Mm-hmm. You trust them.
I feel the same way about Carlton Cuse and Carrie Aaron, not just from their previous work, you know, mm-hmm. on Friday Night Lights and Parenthood and obviously Lost and other things, but on this show, the merits of this very show, which we love every second of,
mm-hmm.
if something feels off, I'm not going to be like, oh, what are these guys doing? I'm not Joe Sanfilippo. I don't know what the writers are doing. The writers, what are they doing? That's my favorite. It's my favorite Flippoism, by the way.
The part of Joe Sanfilippo, played by Braswell.
Yes. Flippo loves to criticize the writers.
Writers! That's precisely why I didn't say anything about this Dilemma storyline. I love that, by the way, Dilemma.
Right.
It is a dilemma right now. Is because I know they're going somewhere with it. I know eventually Norman will find out about Emma and Dylan and flip out. I know eventually her lungs will turn on her. And so I think that they're building this up to be this sweet love story so they can just kind of have something to tear down and make it be that more dramatic when they do.
Right. I agree. So we'll see. And because clearly we've talked about this before, they're doomed as doomed can be, either in love or in life.
We know where this is going.
Yeah, we know this is going. So either in love and life or both, they're doomed. So mm-hmm. maybe we can just enjoy this moment while we have it. Okay, so let's
not
get back.
Be so cynical.
So let's get back to this episode. So where we left off last week, the Bates Manor mm-hmm. has been trashed and ransacked.
Her favorite window's been broken.
Her favorite one has been broken, and so we pick up with them dealing with the aftermath of this. Mm-hmm. And I like, first of all, did you think you knew what this was about or who this was, or did you just have no clue?
Well, I thought it was. I never try and guess anymore. Uh-huh. I just kind of go along for the ride. But I had a feeling it was going to be Rachel.
Okay.
And from this episode, it seemed like that was correct.
Right.
You know.
But was it her? Or did she hire some people? I mean, she doesn't seem capable of just going in there and ramsacking shit.
Sure she does. She was she was in Romero's house looking for something.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, she just took it to the next level. Plus, she's pissed off that he's married now. She needs to get that aggression out.
Yeah. Well, I want to sidebar on that one a second. But, man, I don't know. This Rebecca is scaring the crap out of me.
Little redhead Rebecca.
I wrote that. Rebecca the redhead. I also wrote, hell hath no fury.
Yes.
Like a woman scorned.
That's true.
Like, she is scorched. She is so scorned.
Watch out.
And she's even getting more like, oh, your wife. Oh, well, I guess, you know.
Plus, she has information.
You said you never get married, but I guess that meant just to me. Well, mm-hmm. I hope you're happy with the key.
You know, hold on. What was this key that she was looking for? Can we go into that real quick?
Yeah, you know the key.
I don't know the key.
You missed the key.
Did I miss the key?
Yeah. You missed the key. It's a big, 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 big plot point.
Wait a minute. So where the key goes to what, though?
All right. Everyone out there listening and watching,
let's fill us in.
Well, pause while I feel doing it. So apparently, as we learned from Rebecca, Rebecca's whole device, whole point of being here is the fact that she works at the bank and she laundered money for Bob.
Yes.
And Bob has a safe deposit box, which she has one key to, which has at least $3 million
dollars into it. That's the key.
And the other key was Bob Parrish has it.
Yes.
And
I remember that scene.
She's calling him out, basically saying, like, I've got one key.
Okay.
Bob Parrish has the other, wink, wink. But he's gone, wink, wink.
And
Romero's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have the key. She's like, sure you don't.
Got it.
That's what this is all about.
Yep. Recap. Thank you.
And then we also know that Romero went home, and sure enough, he's got the damn key. Mm-hmm. But he's playing it very straight with Rebecca. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know if he plans on waiting this thing out and then getting the other key from Rebecca and then getting the money. I don't know if his plan is to, you know, who knows.
You're kind of at a standstill, though, because you can't tell her that you have the key.
No, you won't.
You can't. And she, I mean, she's kind of like blocking that bank. You can't get. So it's just that he has this. And the key is really symbolic as well, because the key is the key to the fact that he killed Bob Parrish.
Right.
So you find the key, you know that Bob Parrish isn't around anymore. Because.
Right.
So.
But it's interesting. Also, you know, as we digress down this road, also that's also maybe Romero's get out of jail free card, because whoever holds the key undoubtedly would have killed Bob Harris. So if he could tell the DEA, I don't know, but I heard he had a key somewhere. You might want to search Rebecca, and if she has both keys.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, I know how to frame people.
Oh, that is smart.
No, but like so that, I mean, that's something that, you know, we'll see. How that goes. But anyway, so Rebecca is a little, you know, I don't know.
She's a loose cannon,
a loose
I think
cannon.
Is the term.
Loose. Shalom, you felt for Rebecca in this episode? I don't know. Maybe it's just my experience with
redheads?
With the fair sex, who may or may not be a little...
Just a little bias.
But all the signs are there. There's a red flag. Shing, 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 going up all over the place with that Rebecca.
Yep.
So, I don't know. My spidey senses are tingling about. She's not one to mess with. But anyway, so, you know, we have that wonderful moment in the house where, you know, Romero is trying to console Norma. Norma's like, who would do this? And he very much gives her the reassurance that she needs. And that was a cool moment of, like, where I thought, like, oh, they're actually a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And she's listening to him.
There's something I'm going to get into about how good they fit into each other a little bit later in the show. But
I didn't see any of that. That was left to the imagination, dude.
They really are kind of a match made in heaven. And even with Norma's like apprehension and Romero's kind of cool, calm collectedness, they really are just kind of this perfect odd couple.
Right.
And, you know, they just communicate without words as well. Like last episode, Rachel asked Romero if he had the key, and his walls went up and he didn't respond. The end of this episode, Norma asked Romero, or about Bob Parrish. Norma asked Romero,
twice.
Did you kill Bob Parrish?
Beginning of the episode, she asked twice.
Yeah, and he couldn't lie to her. They yeah. she just oh, that's knows. Good observation. There was just this understanding, and they're at that place as a couple where they can communicate to each other without words, and that's like that really kind of like special and like sacred place where you just have this like connection, and they're there, and I think it's really sweet.
It's a great observation.
Thank you.
That's a very sensitive operator.
Missed the key, but I got that one.
Right. I have observations like she's hot, she's crazy, he's cool. no, I agree 100%. That's a great observation, and I like how, you know, again, the bookend of seeing what Normero is as a couple at the beginning of the episode and also at the end of the episode, it really sort of, you know, everybody gives, again, it's futile of me to have this feeling, but it gives me hope.
Yeah,
it gives me hope.
Yeah,
know? But you know, whatever. Speaking of futility, Norman is talking to Dr. Edwards and seems to be making some progress. Now I want to talk to you about that. So, you know, at the last episode, Norman is like, in his feather boa and the whole nine yards, he's like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this pain. Like, this is, it seemed really genuine. It was a real mm-hmm. genuine breakdown.
It was total surrender, yeah.
And Dr. Gay Edwards, or Dr. Edwards, Dr. Black Gay Edwards, Dr. Edwards.
How politically incorrect can we be with this title?
I know, my man's a great actor. I love him, but like he seemed really, really sympathetic to Norman's, you know, to Norman in the car at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then so we see their first session together, and I can't quite wrap my head around what's going on. I want to get your take on this. I mean, in the, like we see three sessions in total with them, and I think in the first one, I like coming off of episode four, like it felt very much like, okay, Norman, he's all in. He wants help. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be, you know, he's all in. But then as they were talking, I thought like, is he playing him? Is he like just telling Edwards what he thinks Edwards wants to hear to get out of there? Like, what does he fit into? How did you read that first thing?
I felt like this was his kind of genuine, like, you have to, when you come to a realization, I mean, that's a huge realization for Norman when he's in the car and in his crying moment, you realize it's all coming to him. Like, he could have made all of this up. This could all be a delusion. He doesn't know what's real and what's not real. This is big for him. So he is just, I think that first episode, he's just completely opened and surrendered. It's not until the conversation with his mother when they go on the walk together, or Mother Norma. We yeah. still don't know if that was real or not. But it's not until that conversation that I think that he's playing him. He has that, like, significant girl interrupted moment mm-hmm. where he's like, okay, all you have to do is kind of confess your sins and you'll be free, you know? And so I think that then he just tries to play it straight and he tries to not be crazy further into the episode. But Norman can't play not crazy. Yeah. His crazy always comes out.
Crazy's hanging out.
Yeah. His crazy is all over the place.
Man, it's just falling on the floor, yeah. stepping on it. Ouch, that's my crazy. Look out.
Boy, like, pick up your crazy.
It's crazy all over the place.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I thought initially that, you know, oh, great, Norman's getting some help. And then I just felt a little disingenuous nature from Norman. And then by the end of that, he asks for he seems to be like playing the role in order to get something. And what he wants to get is this phone call mm-hmm. to his sick friend, Emma, mm-hmm. who has CF, who's in the hospital.
Yeah. And I mean, he definitely wants to get that. Wasn't there a scene last episode or something where Gay Edwards says to Norman, I need you to trust me.
Yeah.
We need to build trust.
Yeah.
And so I think that having that, it's like he knows now what Dr. Edwards wants from him.
Right.
He wants to, you know, appear to trust each other. They want to appear to have this relationship together. So I think that the first initial conversation was total and utter surrender. He gets his phone call and, you know, and now what's the first thing he does?
He calls his mother. What? Okay, that makes sense.
Do you think that that's why he gave him the phone call, to see who he would call?
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, but like, I guess it didn't matter. I guess I think Edwards is really just genuinely trying to establish trust, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that, but of course, Edwards has all the answers because the phone calls are on monitor and he knows who's calling. So it's like, okay, Norman, give her a call mm-hmm. and he can see if he's really calling the chick or if he's really calling whoever he's going to call. And I think that was a good trick on Edwards' part, but it made me feel like that, you know, Norman's clearly manipulating him to get that phone call because he wanted to call his mother. And then once he got to, so he made the phone call. And I like the way it's written and directed is great because you can't really tell. You thought for one moment, oh, maybe he is talking to Emma the whole time until he says, I love you. Mm-hmm. And then, like, is that? No, that's his mother.
Yeah. I didn't for 1 second think that he was talking to Emma.
Right.
Not for 1 second. I knew that he was going to call his mother. And I love that scene, his acting, by the way. Like, right. Has anybody ever tried to, like, look in the mirror and actually just tear up by themselves? Like, actually get to that point where you can, like, that's
so
hard
I wake
to
up
do.
Every morning.
That's hard to do. I think that not for 1 second we should, you know, step away from the fact that this is amazing acting.
Yeah.
They're so good. I mean, it's him in a telephone, and he can evoke this emotion where he's getting teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Do they do things? Do they put stuff on the eyes? What do they do? Like, what are the secrets?
No, it's called acting.
Is it just...
if Julie and Joe were here, they'd flip the table right now and be mad at you. Like, what do you guys do? What do you guys do? Yeah, it's like, just like...
What do you guys do? Like, mix vapor rub under the eyes? What is that? How do you tear up like that? That's nice. That's good.
No, it's acting, and it's good. It's good acting. And so one of the questions that we have that I want to talk about is, and it seems like we're talking about in the chat room as well, is whether or not that was actually Norma in the courtyard. So he makes the phone call, and sure enough, he sees her. Norma's like in the distance, and she rolls up. Now, I instantly was like, uh-oh, fake Mother Norma, here she comes. But she was acting very much like the real Norma. I mean,
yeah.
The way Vera was playing that, Vera Farmiga was playing that like she's playing, like she plays Norma Bates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain way that she plays Mother Norma, which is a little more either sinister or sultry.
Yeah.
It's kind of like two beats.
A little like younger.
Yeah,
and
it's a little more sultry, a little more sinister. And also the dress, the clothing she wears is usually mm-hmm. a little something like a little more revealing. And it's just something about Mother Norma versus Norma. And this was like Norma, sensible coat. She kind of came in, and the conversation seemed pretty real,
mm-hmm.
and it just makes you wonder. It makes you really wonder, like, if that was Norma or not. And then, this is where I'm really confused. So in that conversation, let's go with the fact that maybe she's not real.
Mm-hmm.
In that conversation, Norma tells him, like, you just have to do what you got to do to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, do what you have to do.
Tell him what he wants to hear.
And tell him what he wants to hear. Now, is that Norman telling himself that that's, like, justifying his new thing, like, his plan, which is basically, I'm going to, you know, try to dupe Dr. Edwards?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it genuinely Norma having that conversation? In the chat room, people were saying that one guy, my chair's sinking. I feel like I'm just going lower and lower. All right. There you go. Sorry. So it seems like in the chat, in the chat room, they talk about the guy who walked by and saw her, but we don't know if he saw her or if he just saw Norman talking
but
to himself.
I think that's interesting because he did give a look when he walked by.
Yeah.
Almost like he was talking to himself.
Yeah, it could go either way. So hopefully there'll be a reveal. Maybe there'll be a flashback of him walking and talking.
Well, what I think makes me think that, because during the conversation, I thought, I was like, you know what? At first when she was walking up, I thought that she was fake. But then after the conversation, I thought that it was completely real. But not once in real life did Norma ever mention to Romero or anybody that she went to go see Norman.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that validates that she was a figment of the imagination. And every time we have one of these like haiku theories, we're always wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that she was an imagination. I think that
what?
Norman is
in a
high stress environment right now. So Mother Norma is going to be manifesting in different ways.
Well, that's the thing, because what's interesting to me is that, like, you know, Mother Norma is usually brought on by some very specific trauma or sexual arousal.
But now she's here to comfort him.
But there's no sexual arousal, there's no trauma. Mm-hmm. He's just in there like, oh, there's Mother.
Yeah.
She's like,
and
hey.
This season, I want to be very clear, this season, the real life interactions between Norma and Norman have all been negative.
Right.
And all been damaging.
Right.
And not been good. And they're going down this road where they don't trust each other. It's only the Mother Norma and, you know, the interactions with Norman and Mother Norma those are the comforting ones. So his real life relationship with his mother is kind of derailing, but his pretend relationship is how he still finds comfort.
Right.
So I think that that's really interesting. And I also thought at the very end of that conversation when, you know, he's asking me questions about my father. And she's like, your father's dead. He's dust.
Right.
I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it past the real Norma to say that.
It felt so much like Norma. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. But anyway, that's interesting. So he has that interaction, and maybe, like you said, maybe it's not, you know, sexual arousal or trauma, and maybe it is like he's lonely, the loneliness and like being alone and wanting to be comforted. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Edwards referenced that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you to feel alone. I don't want you to feel this way. So there seems to be another theory getting into this other, the next session, the V session with Dr. Edwards. There seems to be another theory that Dr. Edwards maybe, you know, said all that stuff just to trigger Norman. Just to see if he can trigger, like, your mom was never here. Now what? And just see if he can trigger her. But that seems like a stretch.
So
that seems like a bit of a stretch.
It's an interesting theory, though, because he did not seem... Dr. Edwards, are we talking about the scene where Norman switches over now?
Yeah, because he's like, you know, because Edwards was very much like, yeah, so, you know, I know you called your mother, and your mother never visited, so now what's up?
Do you think that Dr. Edwards knows the whole time that he thinks that Norman has a multiple personality?
I don't know. Like, this is, we're getting down to theory land.
Exactly.
Either he discovered right then and there, or he suspected and he was trying to figure out how to trigger it.
Well, because he didn't look surprised at all when it happened.
Yeah.
And the way that he was counting down and patting him on the back seemed to me like it was just trying to, he was just trying to comfort him out of this anger. But then when Norman looks up at him, Dr. Edwards knows immediately that he is somebody else, not himself, but he doesn't seem surprised by it. I was so confused by that. And I was like, either this doctor has been around the block and he knows what he's doing and right. He knows how to handle crazy and this nothing shocks him, or he knew that this was going to happen. He had a theory that this was going to happen.
This is very reminiscent of that famous scene in Primal Fear in Norton's first big movie where he got nominated for Academy Award, where he plays a guy with multiple personalities who...
He's faking it.
Spoiler alert. He's faking it. But it's the whole twist of the whole movie. Thank you, Kaiser Soze, over here, Dua. Anyway, but there's that moment where he is with Richard Gere, and he's like, and Edward Norton's like, who the F are you? And Richard Gere goes, who the F are you? And it's like very much that moment. But except Dr. Edwards didn't have that. He was very much like, oh, okay. She's here now. I love the way he's playing this, by the way.
Dr. Edwards?
Oh, my God.
Every episode, I like him more and more.
He's great.
He's like a cool as a cucumber, this guy.
I want his own show.
Yeah.
Dr. Edwards. He needs his own, like a Dr. Phil show.
In the house with Dr. Edwards at Shady Acres.
That's right. In the house.
Yeah, in the house.
What's on the UPN?
Yeah.
On the CW? In the house. Anyway, we digress.
I'm gonna pitch this show now.
But yeah, so I think my personal theory is it was all discovery. I don't think this was an elaborate ruse by Dr. Edwards. I thought that, like, I think it was all just sort of like discovery, like in the moment discovery. Mm-hmm. Now, once he figured out, like, he called his mom, like, Dr. Edwards already had the goods going into the session. He's like, this is interesting. Norman called Norma. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Left a message. Second of all, he was seen walking in the courtyard talking to himself. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was that, you know.
Oh, interesting.
And he says that his mother visited him. Something's going on here. And that's how he maybe knew. And that's why, to me, that's how he put it together. So when he sat down, and it's like, so tell me about your visit, Norman. Tell me about your mom. He goes, well, she was very comforting. And she was wondering, what did she say to you?
Yeah.
Oh, she said this and that and the other. Like, well, what if I told you she was never here?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of, I mean, so that,
I'm
going to
ask you something that might be confusing.
Right, exactly. And this isn't well played. So, he has that moment. He crosses over. And, you know, I'm also, like, fascinated by the psychology of what Norman thinks of Norma. It's like, what is, in Norman's mind, is Norma just really this, like,
sexual
flirty
kitten?
Sex pot? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I should lie down. It was, yeah.
But Norma doesn't even roll like that in real life.
No, she doesn't roll like that.
No, I'm just saying, she doesn't roll. I mean, she doesn't. Norman, I mean, it's not like Norman's traumatized by seeing his mom be, he's not like Don Draper, like, you know, or Dick Whitman, it's crossing shows here, but it's not like he's traumatized by seeing his mother cat around town or seeing his mother, like, you know, being, his mother's very buttoned up and very uptight.
Well, the last time we did see her out, she was at a strip club, so maybe that was the old reminiscence.
Well, no, but this is the thing, like, this was so funny to me, like, this version of Norma, of Mother Norma, that Norman manifests, is like, seems to be a projection or manifestation of Norman's own sexual desires.
Exactly, that are completely and totally repressed.
Right, so what's coming out is his sexual desires and needs are coming out through Mother Norma, because he's not able to express any kind of any kind of like sexual anything, you know, as Norman, mm-hmm. like even the countless girls that he's come up to that have come onto him in seasons one and two, and the hundreds of times he's gotten laid in season one and two, which is pretty remarkable.
Well, what I find interesting about that statement too is that, you know, Dr. Edwards told Norma, the real Norma, that he was gay, and now Norman's projected manifestation, Norman has no idea, and I think that Dr. Edwards is gay, but now Norma's projected manifestation is now kind of hitting on Dr. Edwards.
Yeah, because that Norma doesn't know.
Yeah, and I think it's weird, and I just think that that's kind of interesting. It was just kind of uncomfortable to watch that situation, watch actual Freddie Highmore like be sexual as Norma. And just, you know, it just had to, that just was just an interesting scene to play for him, I'm sure.
Good acting. Good acting. Stuff going on. I love that scene. I love thing about it. And it's also very good seeing Norma in the room. It's also very reminiscent of the end of Psycho. You know, so in Psycho, you know, Norman, I mean, it's all given to us through exposition, but the doctor says, the whole scene is like, it's matricide. The whole mm-hmm. scene where he talks about, like, well, I just had a conversation with Norma.
And I'm gonna...
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yep. She told me everything. Yeah. You know, and goes, blah, blah, blah. And that's, I feel like that's what this was. You know, mm-hmm. this is that same conversation. And all that was good, man.
It was. I'm sad that Julie isn't here because this is the scene that she was waiting for. She was waiting for him to turn in front of Dr. Edwards because this is a huge moment in the show.
Well, it's a huge moment in the show, and it makes you wonder, when we have further sessions, will we see further sessions with Edwards and Mother Norma. Mm-hmm.
But is this also solidifying the fact that Norman is not getting out of there anytime soon?
Well, I mean, Edwards is not letting him out. Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, there was hope. Just keep it together. You're probably going to get out. We can be together again. But now, after this, it's like, get comfortable, buddy.
Well, this spells...
Bunker down.
This, for me, spells bad news for Dr. Edwards. Because Dr. Edwards, talk about not going to make it. There's no way Dr. Edwards is going to make it out of this whole thing
alive.
I don't
remember Dr. Edwards in the movie.
No, he didn't make it to the movie. Unless that was him at the end of the movie. But like, I should have to check. Like that the psychologist who evaluates Norman at the end of Psycho. I wonder if that guy is actually Dr. Edwards. I got to check.
No, probably not. I'm only going to say that just because No, I would say no.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me is obviously, clearly, Norman has to get out, mm-hmm. you know, for this final season.
Yeah.
Norman has to be on the loose. And the question is, like, how does he end up being totally sane running the Bates Motel, on his own?
Yeah. So that would say that he has to eliminate Dr. Edwards. But the thing is, you can't, like, I think that a patient that kills a doctor in a mental institution would have to be, like, I think that he probably manipulates his way out, or Norma would probably have to help get him out or something.
Yeah, maybe Norma, maybe gets him out, or maybe they can't afford to pay anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going to count. I don't know how that works, right? What if they can't afford to pay? What happens? What if Romero's money runs out?
He ends up on Skid Row. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, I'm very interested to see what happens with these sessions moving forward. I'm very interested to see that when that phone call to Norma from Dr. Edwards, like, I got some news. Your son thinks he's you.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested to see if Mother Norma will confess to Edwards.
Do you think that that's something that he would share with Norma? Because aren't those sessions supposed to be...
Yeah, that's another good question.
You know?
But he has to because he's in
And that's going to affect the way that she responds to him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's something
But I also wonder, but they're bound by law. If they say, like, I killed someone, it's not attorney-client privilege. It's not attorney...
No, if it's a crime, then yeah, no.
Yeah, or they're going to harm someone or themselves.
Yeah.
They have to report it.
Yep.
But I wonder if Mother Norma will then confess to Dr. Edwards again, like,
ooh.
Much like, you know, Mother Norma did in Psycho.
Well, this is a
like,
big...
I killed those girls.
This is a big...
That's my Mother Norma from
This
Psycho.
Is a big task for Dr. Edwards now, because he not only needs to get one person to trust him, he needs to get two people to trust him.
Right.
So earning the trust of Mother Norma is going to be a lot more difficult, I think. But I think that that's kind of the way that he's going to go, is that he now is going to try and just talk to them as two people. That's crazy. That's
very
crazy.
Interesting. Oh, medication. Oh, is that for me?
somebody writing about medication?
Yes. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, that's how I get out. Maybe they medicate him and get him right and help cure his personality disorder.
The answer to all the problems is the medication.
Yes.
And then he gets out and he stops taking his medication.
Yep.
Ta-da.
For being... After, of course, Dr. Evers is killed. All
right, my favorite part of this episode was Chick.
Well, let's get to that. Let's get to the Chick stuff. So, Chick's creeping around, man. Chick's lurking around. And the funny thing about Chick is he's beat to shit. You know, he can barely walk. He's not going to run you down.
Yeah.
And he can't even walk, yet he's still super scary and super menacing. Like, what's he going to do exactly?
Yeah.
Like, if Chick comes walking, running after me, I'm like, what's up, Chick? Where you at?
Yeah.
Like, but he can't do anything. He can't even hold himself up. He can't get out of a car.
Yeah, he's so funny. Like, he looks homeless, and he's wearing, do you notice, he's wearing these, like, little, like, granny glasses holders.
The beads come down, and
oh, that's got to just be a fun part to play.
So I wrote, Chick is looking pretty effed up. And Spider wrote effed. And then Chick's lurking. So Chick's following her around, follows her into...
He doesn't follow her around. He ran into her out of all the hardware stores in all the world.
No, because when Norma is driving, and she's rolling to How Long Has This Been Going On by Ace, they have a shot, and behind them is Chick following her.
I missed that.
Yeah, so Chick's tailing her.
How many
other
people missed that? I totally missed that. I just thought that by circumstance, he happened to be in that hardware store.
No.
Oh.
No, he was, like, tailing her that whole time. I mean, am I right, people? Am I right, chat room folks? Like, Chick was tailing her, or it wasn't happenstance. And then Chick followed her. Yep. So there's it. There it is. Shalom Joe.
Yeah, I was just so into the song. I missed that. Yeah,
by Ace. So then they got into the car. I mean, the hardware store, and he's lurking and doing the thing, and he gets the address. Mm-hmm. So then he goes up and does the whole, like, hey, the guy at the hardware store said blah 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 blah, and I don't know what is he doing at that point. Because he knows that... Now, he does know...
What is his motivation?
Well, because he does know that Dylan... Does he know that Dylan's the son at that point? He does, right?
Yeah, well, he knows that Dylan is... I don't know if he knows what the relation is to Norma and Dylan. I don't know. I don't... You know what? Because I think... He knows that Norma is Dylan's son, I think. So I think that maybe he thought that...
Somehow he can get to... Caleb through
exactly through like an stuff. Ex-lover
right.
or something.
So he did. I mean, this is his own weird sort of like Chick detective.
It was very
work.
Clever.
Very clever.
Very clever.
Getting in there and like getting all the intel and getting the information and getting, you know, and piecing together my son, my brother, mm-hmm. they're together, the whole thing. And
I love
like,
it. The first interaction Chick says to Norma, we all love those moments in life where everything changes.
Yeah, exactly. His
great
story.
Great line.
I swerved to avoid hitting the dog. Yeah. And then the dog's licking me in the face. I'm like, Chick, spin a yarn, Chick. You can spin a yarn. But, yeah, I don't know. So there's all that. And so Chick, he gets all that information. Now that he has an intel, he comes back after designing that beautiful, which we don't really quite see, but what we presume is a beautiful stained glass window for Norma.
Mm-hmm. I like that he just happens to know how to do this. Like, just...
But so it's kind of like, I don't work with glass, I work with metal, but, you know, it's the same thing, because I can do this, and people don't know. And he had a cool design.
Mm-hmm.
She liked it. And mm-hmm. and the artist, I like that his character is so... And so much depth too, because he's a criminal, obviously, and all kinds of things. But he's also good with his hands. And the way he describes that, he's like, you know, when I saw your, I don't want to replace your window. I don't want to replicate it. I want to replace it with something nicer. So I designed this thing here, and this, I'm like, Chick.
You know, yeah, I don't want to replicate it. I want it to become something organically.
It's
like a little bit philosophical and kind of hippie.
Get it, Chick.
Yeah, this guy's got a lot of layers.
Yeah, so Chick does that, but he finally comes out and says, look, man, I kind of know that I pieced all this thing together, and I wasn't quite honest with you. And I want to be within integrity here.
Exactly. But before he said that, there was the scene outside of the motel where they're sitting, and he asks about Caleb. And he kind of just comes out, and he's like, I want to ask about, you know, who's Caleb? And she's like, oh, yeah, my brother is kind of weird. And he's like, shoom, that's it right there.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that coming. Did you see that coming?
No, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what Chick was fishing for, but he said at the end of the episode that, like, his, you know, Caleb messed up his face, and we now know that, and subsequently his wife and kid left him.
Yeah.
So he's definitely effed up.
Well, I think that he was just fishing for where Caleb is. He's like, hey, do you know Caleb? Do you know right. Caleb? And she's like, yeah, you know, my brother is kind of weird. And so he left thinking like, wait a minute, I thought that this was Dylan's son. Dylan's father, and then now, you know, I didn't even put the two and two together that he would come back and be like, hey, guess what? I know that you had sex with your brother.
Right. Yeah. Which is a weird thing to do. Which is a weird thing to call around on. And then either they were in love or you were raped, and don't you want him dead? I guess he's asking, should we conspire on this thing together, mm-hmm. or are you just going to tell me where it is so I can kill him?
Yeah.
And there's a thinly veiled threat in there, because what if she says no? Like, no, I'm not going to tell you anything. Get out of my house. You're crazy. I mean... I'll give you time to think about it. Is that a threat? And I'm like, where's Romero?
He's, you know, talk about somebody that's shrouded in mystery. Chick is always shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of, so you can take what he says like a million different ways. And it's like, I think that when he laid the foundation and he was even like, I never want to be out of integrity with myself, that, you know, now he's like, I have this piece of information. Do you want to come with me? No, I don't want to. Well, then I'm going to tell everybody this piece of information. Like, what would Romero think if he knew that Dylan was the product of her incestual relationship with her brother? Dun, right. dun, dun. Right. You know?
All excellent points.
That's a pretty big, and I think that the way that Chick brought that up was brilliant. I think that the way that the writers and the creators, you know, twisted that up and brought that back in again and kind of like reminded us, hey, don't forget about this tidbit of information. It's still haunting her. It will be following her for the rest of her life. And this is how.
Right. So there's that. I think that's extremely interesting. And we'll see what happens with Chick and how, you know, Romero reacts to this and how Dylan reacts to this. And, mm-hmm. and obviously we're going to see Caleb, Kenny Johnson on Twitter seemed to hinted that he'd be on this season. So we're going to see him.
Johnson's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Is he calling you personally? Is he texting you?
Oh, me, yeah. Me and Kenny are tight.
my arm wrestling buddy. So let's go back really quickly to the Rebecca Romero confrontation, because there's two of them. He goes and meets her at the sandwich shop, and mm-hmm. she's all kind of flirty, and he's like giving the whole...
How happy was she to see him?
She was so happy.
She's like, oh.
Yeah. And he's doing the whole, like, you know, all right, it's a sandwich. And, you know, Nestor plays this so well. He's, like, kind of looking around, doing his thing. And, like, I don't have a thing. Takes a bite of the sandwich, says his piece, and his piece is out.
Yeah.
I love Romero.
He's great. Yeah. I really love him. I think he's great. I think I love the side of him that we're seeing this season with, like, he's almost like the, you know, this surly, like, man. But now he's in a relationship with Norma. So right. he's just, I love this kind of, like, homebody. You know, will do anything to protect his woman,
right?
Norma or Romero. And you guys alluded to the fact that Romero is actually going to kill Rachel this season.
Yeah, I think
Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming because Rachel, it even more so, this when I saw it after this episode, I'm like, oh, yeah. Because, well, first of all, I wanted to mention how Romero is in this role. Like, he's almost taking the Michael Corleone role at the beginning of the episode when she's like, did you kill... what's his name? Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And Romero's kind of like, no, it felt very much like, don't ask me about my business, gay. Like, you know, don't ask me about... But he did confess at the end, which I think is nice, which is different from Michael. And so you have this sort of yin-yang.
He confessed to Norma, though.
That's what I'm saying, to Norma. So you have this yin-yang of, mm-hmm. like, you know, tough guy, protecting, don't ask me about my business, but also, I trust you, I want you to know, we're in this together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really cool, very yin and yang type of situation. I don't think that Romero is going to kill Rachel. I'm going to save what I do think for predictions.
Okay.
But I just think that, I just don't think it's in his character. I just don't, because I think at the end of the day, he still has a good amount of chivalry
in him. It's not about, like, he's going to kill her because for kicks. Something's going to happen. Like, she's already, like, laying the groundwork for, like, I already think you got the key. I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. You don't like me. You're with this woman.
Yeah.
Like, she's about to do some shit. And whatever the shit she's about to do is going to get her killed.
Yeah.
By someone.
Mm-hmm.
Norman, Norma, or Romero. Mm-hmm. Or maybe all three of them in a family. As a family. Who knows? I wonder if this is going there. I wonder if this is going to the point where it's like, Norman and Romero are together, and they're protecting Norman because he loves Norma, and I see the three of them in the house, like, protecting each other, like, having shared crime, like, you know, having all have dirt on each other.
They've all killed people.
Yeah. They all kind of know about it.
How many people do you know that have killed people? Everybody on this show has killed somebody. Yes. It's just, the murder is everywhere.
White Pine Bay. One of them is on this panel and is not here. I'm just kidding, Julia. I'm kidding. All right.
I think that she would. Out of all four of us, I think that she probably would.
Let's actually go into predictions, because I do have a lot of predictions, and we can go and do a lot of different things here.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right. You can go first. Do it.
I have three predictions, I think. I think that Norma is going to kill Rachel.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, they're both going to get backed into a corner, but I think that this is going to be the way that Norma kind of shows her love for Romero. You know, Norma's not really good at expressing her love. She does it through food, like Flippo said last episode. She does it through gestures. You know, so I think that something is going to hit the fan, and she's going to end up killing Rachel, because now they're in it as a couple. And I think it would make Romero unlikable to kill Rachel. It doesn't matter what she does. I just think it would make her unlikable. You know, she's the ex. She's the one that he wouldn't marry, and now he's going to kill her. It doesn't matter what she does. It's just going to make him a little bit more unlikable. My second prediction is that I think soon Norman is going to find out. I think that Norman is going to find out about Emma Dilemma. And I think that, you know, Dylan is so... He can't go to Seattle without telling his family. He really cares about his family. So before he goes, he's going to confess everything to Norman, and Norman is going to crack somehow.
Is it a visit in the hospital?
Maybe. I think so. I think that he's going to, you know, and Norman's going to crack.
Okay.
My other prediction is Emma's mother's going to come back somehow.
Yeah, she's not dead.
This story, no, she is dead, but she's going to come back somehow.
She's not dead.
She's dead. Oh, what do you guys think in the chat room? I think she's dead.
All right.
Dead, not dead. And I have one more prediction, but I forgot what it is. So you go ahead.
I have a few. Those are all very good, by the way. I think that, you know, the Norman Romero honeymoon has got to end very soon here. And I'm just going to end by this season. Something's going to happen. The only thing that can really devise that's going to happen is the only wedge that can really be drawn between them is Norman.
That's true.
Like, Norman's the one guy, because without Norman, it's bliss. With Norman there, Norman's not going to have some dude lurking around.
Oh, like, could you imagine him back mother. In this mix? No.
Oh, no, it never happened. And Romero's not going to put up for Norman's weird bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
And Norma is going to be defending, Norman the whole
time. Don't make her choose.
If she has to choose, she's going to choose Norman. So, I think that's going to be the wedge. I think that I don't know how this will happen, but Norma's going to betray Romero in a way. She's going to be conflicted about it. She's going to betray him. I don't know if she's going to tell on him, or she's going to do something, and it's going to F Romero up, and it's going to put them back at odds in a way for season four that's really problematic and conflicting for Norma.
That's
the first thing. I think that that's going to happen. The other thing is, I think that now, keep in mind that they're married for the insurance. The reason why they're married is to make sure Norman can have insurance to be in the place.
So if they're not married anymore?
If they're not married anymore, then there's no insurance. Norman has to come out. That's one theory.
Okay.
The other thing is, if they're married, and if Romero's killed, the benefactor of all that insurance and money would be Norma. So...
Ooh.
Hopefully Mother Norma doesn't have the bright idea to kill Romero.
Oh.
I'm going all over the place. But
those are
probably more for next season. But
money
like,
does, but this is groundwork we're laying.
Yeah.
Groundwork.
But involving, I think that this, I think Dylan's going to be, I think Chick is the thing that's going to bring Dylan back in. I think Caleb's going to show up. Dylan's going to have to come back. Everyone's going to have to come back. I think that's going to, I don't know how it's going
to
affect
Do you think
Emma.
Norma is going to help Chick in the long run? What do you think is her decision is going to be there? Because Chick left it open. It was left open this episode.
Yeah.
She has a decision to make. What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. Interesting. I don't know.
I'm interested to hear what the people in the chat room have.
Yeah. I don't know.
That is, I think, I mean...
Oh, Dylan's job interview. Let's talk about that real quick. Thank you. Thank you, Drew. Really quickly, Dylan had a job interview. Emma's dad told him to maybe lie. He was completely honest. He broke it all down.
Emma's dad telling him to lie. Who knew it?
Man, but that was a telling thing he said. Something about, sometimes we have to lie to keep our pasts out of us. Whatever.
Yeah.
Spoken like a guy who maybe has a shady past. maybe he's not been a taxidermist his whole life.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't feel like he's been just, you know, in a taxidermy his whole
Ooh,
life.
Ooh, nice. Good point.
But anyway, Dylan goes in and just lays it out. like, man, I slang weed, homie. Like, and the guy was into it and hired him, and I think that was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it made everything about Dilemma very exciting.
Another proving my point, saying that he's an honest kid. He's an honest kid, so now he's like, well, I can't go to Seattle. I can't move and have, you know, get into a relationship with Emma and go to Seattle and not tell my brother,
right,
who obviously had a crush on her. You know, they were in Capertown a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
Capers here, capers there.
Hey.
And a cape, cape here, and a cape, cape there. Here a cape, there a cape.
Capers in my bagels and locks.
Yeah.
Got nothing.
Where are all the capers?
That's it. Anybody else? Anybody got anything? Shalom, Joe, Drew,
we're
Mary
at the halfway
Kay,
mark, halfway Pearl through the season.
Yeah, I mean, any other predictions here? I have no idea what's going to happen.
Halfway through the season.
Hi.
Little thing. You know that Vera Farmiga plays the guitar? Do you know that in real life?
Why wouldn't she?
I don't know. I just think that was interesting. She talked about that in an interview.
Oh, her voice, her beautiful voice.
She plays the guitar, and I think that it's really interesting that, you know, that moment where Romero comes home and she's playing the piano.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's singing that lovely Judy Garland song. I can't remember what it is, mm-hmm, but, you know, and he's just kind of watching her kind of fumble over these words. Like,
yeah,
that's just such, like, don't, like, I hate it when you predict that Romero is not going to be a thing anymore.
I mean,
like, they're just getting going.
Yeah. Drew, the scar. Yes, the scar. Emma showed the scar. That was sweet.
That was a kick-ass looking scar.
Yeah. That was, you know, that was a sweet moment. I mean, come on. All right.
That's a big thing when you're willing to reveal your scars to your lovers.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know what segue I can
do. I know. Yeah. On that note, yeah.
Thank you all for listening and joining us on iTunes. Please be sure, even all you guys from the chat room right now and other people, if you jump over to iTunes and you rate us, that helps us. It helps us tremendously. It helps other people find us.
We like 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 would be nice. But just, you know, shoot over to iTunes. Maybe give us a rating. You know, let people know you listen to the show. Let people know where to find the show, because iTunes is a big part of this as well. But thank you for all you YouTubers who are watching and listening on YouTube. We appreciate you very much. All you folks, and Lounge Blogger, and Chloe, and Drew, and Sylvia, and Hippie Girl, and all the rest of you guys.
Shalom, Joe.
We appreciate all you guys. That's it. Where can the kids find you, Dua?
You can find me on the Twitters at DuaKaissi on the Twitters.
Twitter only. No Instagram yet, huh?
No. I'll get one someday.
No Snapchat.
I have this thing about that you can
who's more in the past, you or Norma?
I know. Well, this is true. I am
Where's your
grandmother. But I'm telling you that they can use your photos. I'm like, they have the right to use your photos.
Yeah, no. You're right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. At Joe K. Braswell. Also on Snapchat at JK Braz. I've been snapping lately. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all next week.
He's a socially savvy guy.
The back half of this, we want to get some guests here for the back half now that they're done filming. So we're going to talk to some folks and try to get some guests in here.
Yeah, they've been in post-production.
Hopefully Nestor for sure. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all very soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.